Amen. Pastor, stand up, you and your wife, real quick. Everyone point your hands towards them. Amen. Hallelujah. Everyone stand up on your feet. Let's just stretch our hands towards this couple. Father, we thank you right now for your ministry gift in the embodiment of Pastor Drew and Sister Tamara. I thank you, Father, for their family, how you called them all to serve not only this church and this people, but this region. I thank you, Father, for their life. I thank you for your grace, the endowments, the gifts of God. I thank you, Father, for doing great and incredible things in their lives. I thank you for this is the beginning of great and mighty things, and our eyes shall see it, not in the far future, but in this year. So we give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you, Pastor. Amen. You and your wonderful wife. And while Pastor was talking, the Lord started ministering to me. He, at least for this service, he changed my message. So I may do it on the second one. But thank you, Pastor. You always want to follow. You want to follow the greatest flow. You know, sometimes you may have something, but God may have a greater flow. And the greatest results and the greatest anointing is to follow his spirit. You understand? The greatest return is to follow the flow. And you always want to just be sensitive, because we always, you know, may have something in our mind or in our heart that we want to do. But what is the Lord? Where's that greater flow? You know, and when you follow that greater flow, you can, it is demanding to have results. You know you're going to get results. Amen. And so in Matthew 5:6, it says here, in Matthew 5:6, it says, oh, I'll give you a minute to get to it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Did you take the top off? Yeah, good, good, good. Give my brother George a hand, man. We gotta get the chicken and waffles before I go back. Amen. Roscoe, that's right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be empty. What does it, they shall be in need. What does it say? They shall be what? Amen. And if in your Bible, it might be written in red, so this is Jesus speaking. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, don't get mixed up with that word righteousness. Oh, I got to be righteous. I got to be more righteous. That's not what Jesus is saying here. If you already received Jesus as your Savior, you already righteous. Amen. Amen. Let me give you a scripture for that. Turn with me real quick to 2 Corinthians 5:21. All right. So what is he saying here when he was saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? Okay. All right. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin. So God, who made Jesus was the only perfect man on that walked on the face of earth that did not know any sin. Amen. We were born into sin. Amen. Past that death sentence was passed to mankind from Adam. So for he who made him, God who made Jesus to become sin. Why did God make Jesus sin? Because the penalty of sin is death. And Jesus was the only perfect man, came in flesh and blood, to die for the penalty of sin. So he knew no sin to be sin for who? For us. Say me. Amen. All right, next. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. So he took, this is called the great exchange. He took our sins that we may become righteous. Righteousness isn't being perfect every day. Having every strand of hair in place is not going to happen. Righteousness is a standing, say a position. Say, this is my position. And this isn't based on how good or how perfect I am. Okay? It's not based on that. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, he, boom, made me righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be in right standing with God. That's all it is. Going back, now this is not my message, but going back to Matthew 5, 6, you have to turn that. So now you can understand, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm not hungry and thirst for righteousness because I'm already made righteous. Are you hearing me? So how can I hunger and thirst for something I have already been made? How can you hunger or want the car that you already drove to church in? It's already yours. Say, I'm already made righteous. So when he was saying in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He wasn't talking about this right standing in God. He was talking about the things of God. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for the kingdom, the things that pertaining to the kingdom of God. Everything that is in the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Now I'm going to take you back. And if I can title this message, it would be, Thank God for White Castle. Do y'all have White Castle out here? I don't know. We have it on the East Coast, you know. And that's right. Y'all looking at me like, where do you get this guy from? That's why he only come four times, like every 4 years now. Look at somebody and say, Thank God for White Castle. Okay, I'm going to take you back now. I'm going to tell you my testimony. I'm going to connect the dots here, as Pastor Drew was saying. It's all about connecting dots. And so I grew up in church, and, you know, David said in Psalms, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was drugged into the house of God. I had a drug problem. Doctors couldn't help me. Medical science, no one. I was drugged to church, you know. And so David said, I was glad to go. I was glad to be drugged. I was drugged by my parents. And so I went to church. I grew up as a little boy, and I was always skilled and gifted playing different instruments. So the first instrument I learned how to play was the acoustic guitar. And then by every Christmas, my mom, they had to get me another one because I broke it, you know. And then every year, they buy me another acoustic guitar, and I go to church and just bang on it. And then I graduated playing the six-string electric guitar, Fender Mustang. That was my guitar. Yeah, going way back. And I grew up as a young boy playing my guitar in church because I was drugged to church. I had no choice, you know. And I sat on the front row playing the guitar. And as I began to grow up in the things of God, I saw the Spirit of God moving amongst the people. I saw the people that was hungry for God, and I was there in the midst. But for me, as I began to get older, there was no connection, as Pastor Drew was saying. It is possible to go to church and not be connected. Just as possible it is to go to the grocery store, take your cart, go down the aisles, and put nothing in the cart. It is possible. It is possible. It is possible. And so the dots was not connected to me, even though my mama was connected, my daddy was connected, the church was connected, but Daryl wasn't connected. And then so as I kept on going to church and I playing my guitar, I got older and I'm playing my guitar. I was there every Sunday, but no connection. And then one day, I remember my aunt, we was in church, and they had revival. And then after the revival, you know, I didn't miss a church. I didn't miss a service. You know what? The devil will let you go to church all you want, long as you do not connect. And then we say, she got the problem. You not connected. And so after revival, you know, we didn't have enough money back in old days of Black Pentecostal Church to go to a diner. So White Castle was our diner. Remember those little burgers? 7 cents a burger. We load up. So here's Daryl. I was drugged to church. I saw the power of God. I saw people hungering for the things of God. I was in the move of it. I was in the midst of it. I seen the healings with my own eyes. I seen a lady being raised from the dead with my own eyes, but I was not connected. And we got, that's right. And we got to White Castle. And so my aunt was sitting in this one car. She had a green car. We called it the Green Hornet. And it was filled up with people there. And I was sitting in the other car with my cousins. And we was eating our White Castle burgers. And I was eating my burgers. And my aunt said, "Daryl, you all guys get in the car over here with us. We're going to pray for Sister Debbie." So we got in the car. Sister Debbie was sitting in the front seat. My aunt was in the driver's seat. Sister Debbie was here. And my aunt, she said, "We're going to pray for Sister Debbie." And Debbie began to give us her testimony. She like, you know, she just didn't know that she was the righteous of Christ, how she can stand against the devil. She like, "Yeah, y'all pray for me. That smoking demon is coming back." You know, she didn't know that Sister Tamara said, "You can resist him. You can resist him. You can resist him." Why? Because you are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then so I remember my cousin, he was sitting next to me on my left-hand side, and she said, his name is Abram. She said, "You want to pray, and then Daryl, you pray next." So he began to pray for her, and I was thinking in my mind, I'm like, "Man, this is a wonderful prayer. I wish I can pray like that," you know? And so when he got finished, she said, "Daryl, you go ahead and pray." And I laid my hands on her shoulder. And when I laid my hands on her shoulder, I said, "Father God, in the name of Jesus." And when I did, the Bible talks about in the Old Testament how they prayed, Solomon prayed, and the glory of God came in the temple, and the cloud filled the temple. Pastor, when I said, "Father God, in the name of Jesus," the cloud came in that car, and this cloud covered me. I couldn't see anyone. I couldn't, I was just lost. I didn't know, but it was the glory of God. Hallelujah. And then so that cloud came over me and I started shaking. I couldn't finish the prayer. And I was like, I just didn't know what was happening to me, but it was good. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to come back to me in the White Castle parking lot. Turn with me to look at John real quick. John, the fourth chapter. Let me show you something. Say, blessed. You know what that word blessed means? It means fortune. To be envied. Fortune. Your fortune. People ought to envy you. Why? Because you are filled. You are filled. Filled. You are filled.
Yes, sir.
And so, right here in John, the fourth chapter, I just want to show you something here. How that woman, you got it in, let me look at that verse. Let me get that verse there. The woman with at the well. And we're not gonna read the whole thing, but look at the 13th verse. Well, let's look at the 11th verse. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing," because Jesus said, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink." I want you to catch this here. He said, "Give me a drink." And she says, "Sir, you and your big bad self. You have nothing to draw with. At least I got a dip. I got something to draw some." She said, "How are you going to boss me around and say, give me something, and as well as this, and the well is deep? Where then do you get that living water?" Okay, next verse. "Are you greater?" She's going to try to go there on him. You know, she's going to try to pull rank. When you witness it, people are going to get religious on you. They're going to go back. They're going to pull out. Even prisoners, You know, they're gonna get religious and cut up somebody else that harms somebody else. And how you gonna get religious when you're doing the same thing?
Yeah, that's right.
Notice this. And you are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Next verse. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He was talking about the natural water. Next verse. But whoever drink of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Don't go back, but in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what is righteousness. It's not being in Christ. You're already in him. But now that you're in him, you hunger for the supernatural things of God. And when you are filled, you don't have to ask anybody, am I filled? You're going to be the first to know it. It happens on the inside of you. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Next verse. The woman said to him, see, she go back in that religious, that tradition. Sir, give me this water that I might not thirst, nor come here to draw. Being a little sarcastic. Jesus like, okay, I got one for you. They playing chess right now. Jesus said to her, okay, huh? You want to get religious? Go get your husband and tell him to come here. Next verse. The woman said, well, I have none. She like, oh, you went there on me, huh? And Jesus said to her, you said well. Well said, I have no husband. Next verse. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not yours. You took somebody else, man. In that you spoke truly. Next verse. See, he read her mail. See, it goes back. See, what he was doing the whole time, he was wooing her to connect. It's possible to go through the grocery store, push your basket down the aisle, look at the grocery. I need meat. I need milk. I need sugar. I need honey. I need all of this. And come back down the aisle and go out and never put anything in the basket. As stupid as that can be, when you are in need, is just as stupid as it is spiritually to come to church, to hear the word, to hear the singing. When everything, the table is laid out, the message is laid out, the teaching is laid out. Oh, I came to church with my basket, with my religious clothes on. Good message, Pastor. Good, but do not connect with God. What's the result? I'm not filled. It's not a one-time experience. It's not a one-time experience. I was filled, but you leaked out. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Woman said to him, sir, I perceive. See, he got attention now. That dot connect right there. She like, okay, you got me. I perceive you're a prophet. Next verse. Our fathers worship on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ultimately. See, she go back to that religious place again. You know? She said, well, okay, our fathers worship, but you all say this. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem, worship the Father. He said a day is coming where no one is going to have to go to the temple to worship. Why? Because we can worship him in spirit and in truth from our hearts. True worshipers worship outside of church and then bring their worship into church. It's a lifestyle. Say a lifestyle. There ought to be a singing and a tune and a humming and a on the inside. When you're not in church, but while you washing the dishes and while you mowing the lawn, you singing and you're worshiping. Why? Because the Father is looking for those who will worship him. Amen. Anybody here? Are y'all following me? Next verse. But the hour is coming. Okay. And you who do not worship know what you worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Next verse. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking. The Father is looking. He's not looking for those who come to church disconnected. He's not looking for those that's not just wanting him. He's looking and searching for those who say, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Give me this drink. I humble myself. I need God. I can't even make it through the week. I need him. You might not need him. I need service. I need Sunday morning. I need God. And he's looking, he's looking, he's looking for the humble. He's looking, are you the one? Are you the one that's carrying your basket, pushing your basket, going to church? Hi, Pastor, I'm here. I made it. Mark me down. But no connection, no lifting up your voice, no giving God your heart, no crying out to God, say, I need you, I need you, I need you. And he have to pass over you. He's looking. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you wanting? Are you desiring? Are you saying, I need more of you? Yes, I am. I will come and fill you. I will come and satisfy you. Why will he pass over those who are not hungry and thirsty? Because he's a respecter of your will. He will not violate your will. He didn't do it with salvation, and he won't do it in any other area. That's why he said, whosoever, let him, he said, I will in no wise cast you out. He said, I'm here to fill you. Jesus said in a few verses up, he said, woman, he said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew what I can do for you, if you knew the water that can really satisfy you, this water go past. The water that Jesus is talking about, it goes past Gatorade. It goes past Jack Daniel. It goes past and supersedes a Blue Moon. It supersedes all of the substance that men may drink. When you sober up, you're still empty. When you come to, you still see the problem same way. And you got to go back again. He said, if you knew the gift of God, and I'm here to say to you, if you really knew the gift of God, the gifts that are flowing, the healings and the miracles, and the anointing that is available for you, you will be up. The pastor said, can you go back? You'll be right here the whole time. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, what is standing in front of you, you would say, give me a drink. And after he read her mail, she said, give me this drink that I may never thirst again. She said, give it to me. Give it to me. She connected. And the Spirit of God is always wooing, always drawing, always bidding you, there's more of me. The worst thing you can do is get satisfied. In your walk with God, in your faith, in your knowledge of the word, once you begin to get satisfied, let me close with this in Psalms 34. How much time I have, Pastor? I better shut up now, right? 5 minutes? I don't want to leave myself in the green car. Look at somebody and say, you got to connect. See, you're already in him. But now that you're in him, there are gifts. There are things for you to still connect. See, people think, go back to the natural. Just because you're in the grocery store is no guarantee you're going to walk out with groceries. Just because you're in the house of God doesn't guarantee you're going to walk out with all that God intended for you when you came in. Why? It's up to you. Are y'all hearing me? Yes. Psalms 34. I got 4 minutes now, right, Pastor? Okay. All right. Okay. I'm trying. That's why I only come back 4 times a year, every 4 years. I'm joking. Let me give this to y'all. Psalms 34. That's right. I tell you what, I'm going to send White Castle an offering for what happened to me in White Castle in that parking lot. In Psalms 34, verse 8. Oh, let's read it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, go. That word blessed, happy, fortune, to be envied. Next verse. Oh, his saints, there is no want to those. Go back to the verse above that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That word taste means to experience. The one thing, Pastor, this generation is missing is an experience with God, with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Oh, experience and see. When you experience what God has for you, the first thing you're going to do is see that he is good. In this car, that cloud came over me. I was shaking. Remember, my whole Christian experience, I went to church, served, played, never missed a Sunday, but no connection. So don't tell me it's not possible. But he connected with me in that car. And when the glory came on me, I started shaking. And I didn't know what was happening. I can hear people, but I couldn't see nobody. It was like I jumped off a diving board into water and went under. And you know how you can hear the sound of water, but you can hear you can't hear anything above the water? I was in the spirit. And then so my aunt, she drove me back to the pastor house. And I didn't know where we was going. I was just out. I was just out under the power. And when we got to the pastor house, my aunt and some of the boys, they drove me up. They took me out the car. I could not walk.
Oh, come on.
John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I couldn't walk. And they one had my feet and the other had my hands. They drugged me into his house, drugged me up the stairs into his prayer room, and I laid there flat under the power of God. The anointing and the glory of God. I'm not talking about when I was in my 30s, when I was in my 20s, when I was a teenager. Hallelujah. You're not too young to taste and see that he's good. You're not too old to taste and see that he is good. There's nothing you have done that will stop God from allowing you to taste and see he is good. And I laid there in the power of God. And when I came to, when the Spirit of God, I don't know how long it was, an hour or two. When I came to, my pastor was sitting there in the chair. And he said, son, I said, yes, sir. He said, what happened to you? I said, pastor, I don't know, but it sure felt good. And from that one experience, like the woman at the well, she dropped her bucket. This woman was a home wrecker. This woman destroyed other lives. But once she came in contact and tasted the goodness of God, the Bible says she dropped her bucket and she became a 1 hour, just like that, evangelist. She ran back to the place where she dwelled. Said, come and see a man. I was lost. There was no connection. Even though I was at the well. Even though I was drawing water. But there I was drawing from the wrong well. But when he touched me. He touched me. He touched me. When he touched me, something happened. She didn't bring 2, 3, 5 men. She brought the town. And they came and they stayed there and heard the teaching of Jesus. This woman was an outcast. This woman was a lowlife. She didn't have any female friends. It was all the men who came. But after she tasted and see that he was good, all of a sudden, he changed everything. I gotta stop. That's okay. But I will tell you this. From that moment, Pastor Paul, when the Spirit of God touched me, he changed my desires. I was in church. I wasn't really doing anything bad, but I was in church. The first thing that happened, I got a hunger for God. I started fasting. I was in a Catholic school. I was getting my Catholic friends filled with the Holy Ghost. They're like, Daryl, we're Catholic. I said, I don't care. You need to be born again and filled. I got my Catholic friends filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh.
So, so here's what I'm catching by the Spirit, that, cause my thought is, man, I'd like that to happen to me. You know how we think? But sometimes we think unbiblical. See, Jesus asked that blind man, he said, what do you want me to do for you? One time the Holy Spirit showed me in that passage, and he spoke to me and said, I do the same thing for you all the time. That is Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever. So we sit here and we think, man, I like that to happen to me. Listen to me. You missed the message. You missed the message. Because, notice, Daryl was in that car. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I wasn't there. But Daryl was in that car, and that lady, that was your aunt? She said, first this other person going to pray, and then Daryl, you're going to pray. And then Daryl did what her aunt asked her to do. See, here's what I'm saying. There's this availability that even in his, you know, somebody would say carnality, not connecting, he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. Could God inhabit the prayer of his people? Could God, here's what I'm saying. Sometimes you might not feel very spiritual. You know, have you ever gone to the grocery store and not been hungry? I still should put some things in. I love your sermon. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and you're there with the cart and somebody on the aisle just picks up something and puts something in your cart? Has that ever happened? That ain't ever happened to you. No, nobody else put something in your cart. You had to put it in your cart. And we think, God, if you would just do that, what you did, you know what, for Daryl. Well, here's what I'm saying. You have not because you ask not. I mean, taste and see. Take that which is right there in front of you, the Holy Spirit, the message from God, and let's put it in our cart today. Somebody say, I need something in my cart. I don't know about you, but I am not leaving here with the same way that I came in. I'm not going to leave the grocery store without having my cart full. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I don't want to leave the same way I came in? How many would raise their hand? If your hand's not up, that's up to you. It's your choice. If your hand's not up, it's up to you. It's your choice. But how many would raise their hand and say, Pastor? No, just Pastor. Let's ask God to fill our cart. Say, I do not want to leave this place that I have not asked you to put whatever I need in my heart.